listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Hello, dear friends. It's so good to be with all of you. We have a full show today with two guests that I'm really excited to bring to you, one of which is the face behind Trending, which you do not know, and that is Jimmy G, my dear sound engineer, who's behind everything here and the awesome sounds that you hear with Trending. So we'll be together a little later. We'll be talking about how he met his wife and taking some questions from you guys that were sent in. In the meantime, I have a dear friend of mine here with me, and that is Brooke Taylor. She shares a love for radio after working for many years in secular radio, as well as now hosting her own podcast called Good Things Radio. Brooke, thank you for being here.
Hello, Timmery. It's good to speak to you.
Now, she is coming up from Cleveland, Ohio here, and I was really excited to bring you on because there's been a lot of conversation recently. Isn't there always this hatred between women? Like, oh, you're a working mom, or oh, you're a stay-at-home mom, and there's this jealousy and angry animosity that women have for each other. Do you see this, too, in Ohio?
Well, I do, but that, you know, that macro picture, that macro narrative and snapshot, when I hear that, but when I dive into mom-to-mom, heart-to-heart, it's not that way. And I think therein, like a lot of things in our culture, we have to find out what's true and what's a false narrative. And so I think that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. There was a recent study that came out from UCSD, I believe it was, talking about how this one's not from UCSD. This was just a number pulling. There's another study talking about how millennials are having less sex, and that comes out of UCSD. This one is having to do with just all these women have been polled, and what we're seeing is that the question has to do with whether or not you want to be working full-time, part-time, or you'd rather be a stay-at-home mom. And here's what came out. A third of women said they want to work full-time. Half of women said they would prefer to work part-time. And then the other 20% essentially said that they'd rather be a stay-at-home mom. But across the board, Brooke, more and more people are saying, especially moms, that they want to have more time with your kids. What are your initial reactions to this?
Well, I absolutely agree. And when you have a child and you're holding that baby, it is such an awesome, and I don't mean awesome in the slang word, I mean profound and unbelievable responsibility to be entrusted with an eternal soul, to mold, to love, to teach. And so that is hard to wrap your mind around. And of course, you want to get it right. And yet we're also in this culture where we want to keep up. We want to provide the best every year. Annually, those studies come out that say, this is how much it costs from birth to 18, you know, to raise a child. And so somewhere in all of that, we are called to live out our vocation and figure out what exactly God is calling us to do. And it is, in one hand, it's challenging because I think when you look at statistics and when you look at that survey that you just cited, it's impossible to put mothers and families into a category for gross domestic product or GDP or commerce because we're so complicated. I have a special needs child, for example. So I was in the workforce as a full-time mom for many years. I loved my job. I felt called to my job. I was fulfilled by it. But then my circumstances changed. And that also was a gift and a blessing. So I think that's part of the starting point is, are we living out the fullest call that God has asked us to? You know, and it gets complicated with the voices of the culture coming in.
And that call begins with recognizing what your responsibilities are based on relationship and based on your home. You know, you made a covenant. You've entered into the sacrament of marriage. And with that comes responsibility. I think so many people get married and they're longing for this marriage, but they're always longing for the next thing, whether it's a baby, a promotion at work, a new home, whatever it might be. But they forget that ultimately I'm supposed to live here in the moment. You know, I think of St. John Paul the Great's work in love and responsibility. It was a push to remind us to take back this idea of responsibility being associated with love.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, because we are a culture and a country of building. We build great things. And it's the St. Augustine, our hearts are restless, O Lord. When I was in secular radio and when I was married, I was trying to build, what does the perfect American couple look like? And this was before I came back to my faith. I'm a revert to my faith. But then when we had children, then it shifted to a different set of rules. Okay, what schools are my children supposed to go to? What vacations are we supposed to take? What neighborhoods are we supposed to live in? And that's a straw man. That's not where the substance is, because what we're seeing more and more is this mental health issue and the social fragmentation since about the 1980s, loneliness, the family structure weakening, the loss of spiritual fulfillment. That all comes down to family being the first society which we gain identity, social identity, security, and that's left declining. And when people are looking at what makes a successful country and what makes a successful home, that's what it comes down to. It's not the paycheck. It's not the status. It's the health, the mental health, the spiritual health, and the strength of that family unit.
That is Brooke Taylor. You are listening to Trending with Timmery. Brooke has made the sacrifice to make sure that she is there involved for her children in her home. You know, I think of one of the greatest gifts that my mother and father gave me, and that is that they fought to make sure that my mom was present to raise me and my three siblings. And it was a great gift. I think besides my siblings and my faith, having my mom present in the home really allowed for the formation and awareness of my character, my strengths, my weaknesses, and really addressing these issues. And so here's my question I bounce to you, Brooke. You have chosen with your husband to make this decision for you to primarily be in the home. I know you're doing a lot of evangelization work. Brooke is the author of two books, really meditation, calling us into deeper prayer life and conversion, and the books that Choose Joy and Choose Hope. But you have ultimately brought your heart into your home. How are you making this happen, and what really pushed you to make this decision?
I think that's such a beautiful question, and one that can't be asked enough, because we all want to know, how is this family doing it for each one of us? How do you make it work, you know, within your family structure? And for us, there were so many things as time went on that we realized as a family, my husband and I, there were some red flags that went up. There were some things that were going on that we realized we are not there for, and that we need to pull back and revise what we were doing. And so it was through a lot of discernment. It was through novenas. It was through prayers that we decided. I had a really successful radio career and a lot of opportunities. And as we know, it takes a long time. It can take a lifetime sometimes to get to a certain point. But there was not even a question for me, especially we adopted a little girl. We have five children. And our daughter, adopted from Poland, is severely autistic. And I always laugh, because on our morning show, we had a CUME, which is a wide audience that would sample our station every morning, of 500,000 people that would tune in. And I laugh now and I say, I just have five kids that tune me out every day. But I wouldn't trade that. There is nothing that compares to, for me, waking up. And it's hard. I don't want to make it sound like it's a utopia, because it's challenging. It is lonely. When you are in a career field, you can see your successes, and people often are patting you on the back, and you can see progress. When you're in the home, you don't always see that. Your work is quiet. Sometimes it's invisible. But there is freedom that comes when you know that you're doing what God has called you to do. And I think the beauty of the time that we live in is, through social media, you're seeing how other families are making it work, too. There's so many ways, as a stay-home mom, that you can still help monetarily while staying home.
Absolutely. I mean, I think of my own family experiences. My mom ended up obtaining her real estate license and sold home. And unless she was out showing property, she was doing paperwork, calling, you know, email campaigns, advertising, everything from the home. So she was still present there to us.
Well, and that's just it, is that fear, I think, is a big component, where we don't know how it's going to go, and we are a people of control. So it's hard when we can't really see. Sometimes on paper, if you're looking at one person being the breadwinner and losing an income because mom is going to stay home, that can be scary. You don't know if it's going to work out. But the beautiful adventure about a life with God is His covenant, is His promise, and His provision. And there has never been a time that we have gone without. And it's just readjusting. And it's I think it's a great lesson. Often we think we need to get our kids more. I think we need often to buy them less, and it's the simple things. And there are a lot of single moms that are working hard, and it's not necessarily a choice for them. And I think there's beauty in all of it if we are rooted in the purpose of our vocation.
Let's talk about a couple practical things while I have you, Brooke. For many people who would like to look at what the church is teaching, because many of the church's documents for, you know, over 2,000 years have really pointed to how the woman is the heart of the home, but this can become really difficult and requires sacrifice. I remember talking to you at one point because you guys were looking at downsizing your home so that the pressure was lightened on both of your husband and you so that you could be present in the home. What sacrifices or tips would you have for people trying to live on a single income for the most part?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to remember your purpose, remember your why and your purpose and the great privilege, because we don't live in a society that tells us that poverty or struggle or less is more. You don't hear that message that often. But Mother Teresa talks about how when we are empty, then God can fill us. And I'm not trying to romanticize that we should try or we should seek out poverty, but it isn't something to also be feared. It's like anything in life, we choose how we are going to respond to that situation. And if we see over and over that the gain is greater, that to be there for my child, because I think as moms, I know I carry a lot of mom guilt, and I know ministering to other women, it's something that's just part of the territory. We try so hard, we pour out everything we have, and we feel like I didn't do enough here. And I think it's part of our human journey as well. But as long as we keep that idea in mind, because I was here, I was able to tuck my child in, I was able to see them grow or lose a tooth, or, you know, we as parents, we are not just chefs that cook for our children and chauffeurs that drive them. We're soldiers. We are on the front line. That I think when we keep that in mind, those other things don't seem to be magnified as much.
Timory will be right back. Send her a tweet at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I have with me today Brooke Taylor. She is the author of two books, Incredible Meditations to Grow Deeper in Your Faith. They're called Choose Joy and Choose Hope. Brooke Taylor is also the popular host of the podcast Good Things Radio after many years, a true veteran in radio. Brooke, I want to get in a second to how you met your spouse. So many people ask, where do I meet someone? It's difficult to meet people. And sometimes I think looking back to, you know, kind of how things were done 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago, to meet a spouse is really helpful. But before we do that, we were talking about how we found that over half of mothers wish they were able to work part-time, and 20% of mothers wish they could be a full-time home a mother at home, right? Housewife. Here's a challenge. Practically, financially, there are compromises that have to take place. Can you talk to some of these, whether it be, you know, having one car, downsizing in a house? What have been some of your experiences in living this out?
Well, it's true. I mean, that's the reality is, but we live in a culture where it's so insatiable. And so no matter how much we have, we are all on a budget. It doesn't matter if we're making fixed incomes or if we're just squeaking by on minimum wage. We all have to live within a boundary. So I think it's a matter of just optics and our vision and resetting what it is that matters, what it is we need, right? Because I think that's the big question for all of us, is to be self-disciplined and have that self-mastery over what is it that I want and how can we live within these means. And for us, there were a few years where we couldn't take a vacation. And where we live, people go on vacation in the summer. They go on vacation on spring break. Even when I was working, we weren't, I don't know how people are able to do that, because we never could anyway. And, you know, I was talking to my mom and she was sharing about my grandmother. My grandma and grandpa had 12 children and they lived through the Great Depression. My grandmother had one dress that she wore for like 5 years. And they never in their entire life took a vacation. And so you think of just in a short amount of time how prosperous so many of us are throughout the country and the things that we enjoy. And when we just reset, well, we are blessed. Everything we have, God has provided. And so I try to do that with my kids, too, because it's not just us maybe that are living more simply, but they're going to school and they're saying, well, this kid got the latest shoes or the latest that. we know through our whole lives that it's that way. And the sooner that we opt out of that chase and really, I think, focus on letting that go. It's not to say we shouldn't enjoy and indulge in some things every now and then, but I think the greater rooted we are in the things that really matter.
Absolutely. And we live in a very indulgent culture. I love what you said about how we're living with boundaries. You know, we're in a culture that has so few boundaries. Young people don't know how to communicate sexual boundaries. People have a difficulty establishing boundaries not to overwork within the workforce. Just emotional boundaries. We could go on and on, but setting a boundary of a budget, setting a boundary. I love where you said, you know, your grandmother had one dress. They didn't take vacations. We are so privileged, but we're so bad at making do with what we have. And that's a challenge I really pose to everyone listening. We are called to be a light in the world that is so materialistic and hedonistic. What areas, where can we convict our own hearts to be better so that we can be present in our homes and families? Brooke, I'd love to hear your romance story, essentially. You know, so many people write into me asking, how do I meet a spouse? How do I meet someone? You know, I feel like I know everyone in my small city, everyone in my young adult group, or, you know, in my town where there are people of good faith, and it's just not happening. How did you meet your husband? And also, how many years have you guys been married?
This June, we'll be celebrating 19 years of marriage. So I'm laughing because how we met is not how I daydreamed and imagined that we would have met, because I thought, I can't wait to be able to share the story, the fairy tale of meeting my husband. I was coming out of the confessional, and there he was in the pew, and the heavens opened up. It wasn't that way. But how we did meet, I believe, was still a wholly unfolding. And basically, I had worked in radio in Wisconsin. I was doing a morning show, and a friend of mine, a fellow on-air radio personality, got a job in North Carolina, and she lived near Fort Bragg, which is the Army base, and had made friends there. And I came to visit her for New Year's. And so we went out, and I've never been someone that goes out to a bar that much, but in this case, for New Year's, I did with her, and I met my husband there. And so it just kind of cracks me up, because I'm someone you probably wouldn't find at a bar, yet there is where I met my husband. And he was from the South. He was from Florida. I was originally from Ohio. But the beautiful thing about that is we only really exchanged names and information and briefly had a chance to connect. And when I went back to my job, we began to write letters, because he, being in the Army, was training a lot. And this was, again, 20 years ago, but he was out in the field, is what it's called. So he wasn't able to talk on the phone or email. And so it was really kind of an old-fashioned courtship, where we got to get to know each other without any other physical distractions or anything else coming in other than our words on the page. And we became best friends. He was Southern Baptist. I was Catholic. But what we were rooted in is we were both believers. We both wanted to have a foundation, a relationship. I had a list of qualities that I had put in my Bible of my hopeful future spouse. And his qualities matched those. And he wanted to be a dad, and he wanted to be a good, godly man. And we were both striving, and maybe a little bit off track in our lives, as a lot of people are as young adults. But we grew together, and I think that was, for me, the biggest thing is that we became best friends first.
I love it. It's a story of meeting at the good old watering hole, like we see so many people in sacred scripture meeting where there's water. And now you might be going a little past that, right? But so many people, Brooke, have met their spouses at bars. And I'm not saying, hey, go out, get drunk, get tipsy. No, it's that you were out, you were available, you were willing to socialize, you're willing to meet new people. Right. And I think all of these lessons are good things to hear. I want to touch on something for those who are just joining us. That's Brooke Taylor. She is the author of two fabulous books, Choose Joy and Choose Hope. And she has been on radio for years and now hosts her podcast, Good Things Radio. And she's telling us her story about how she met her husband. Now, one thing that really stood out to me is that you guys essentially ended up engaging in a sort of long distance relationship through letter writing. And so many people today don't want to do online dating as a form of introduction because they don't want to have a long distance relationship, even though this is what you had. What would you say to people? You know, letter write, text message, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a great point, because 20 years ago, they didn't have the online dating availability like they do now. And I've heard a lot of beautiful stories. Now, of course, you always hear a lot of the opposite, the terrible stories. But there was a certain amount of trust that was involved. He could have been writing me these letters and telling me who he was and not being genuine. But he was. And, you know, then here we would also talk on the phone and that sort of thing. And I think what helped us the most was being rooted in a true faith, where that's something you can't manufacture. And it might not have been perfectly formed, and we were still searching and seeking. But there was a beautiful sincerity in knowing what the vocation to marriage was and what our purpose was for one another. And that, I think, when you find that spark, and I also will add that even when we met the first time that we were together, there was a form of chivalry that I just found so beautiful that he's always maintained. And that's the little thing, opening doors for me, making me feel safe and protected. And of course, you know, we're in a society where women, we say, oh, we're the same as men. But when a real man is with you, he enriches the beauty of that woman. And I think that that is something we need to emphasize in our young men as well today, that ability to really bring out that authentic femininity in the woman.
I love that. And I love where you recognize he was building you up. He was complimenting you. And you guys, you know, we're doing this dance of discovering yourselves in a deeper way during your courtship, whether it was through letter writing, through the time that you spent together. So many people, I think, have so much anxiety about needing to meet someone or how they're going to meet someone. I don't know. You know, my tips are to people, really make sure that you're letting people know you want to get married, you want to have a family. You know, make yourself available. Try not to be, you know, cold. Make yourself presentable, both men and women. What are some of your main tips that you would give to people?
Well, I think for sure it would be begin always with prayer. Lord, you know, because our Lord who made us and knows us is aware of every hair on our head and a word before we say it, what we need. And to be patient, I think that's the other part as well, because it might take longer. At the time, I felt like I would never get married, that it would never happen for me. And then I look back and I think I was like 21 years old. Why did I think that it was never going to happen? But at the time, it's difficult when we're almost, I don't want to use the word desperate, but that's almost how I felt, because that's all I ever wanted was to be a wife and mom. And so at the time, I just felt like it was taking forever. But to not compromise either. Because I think very often we think we can change them, we can compromise our morals, our beliefs, our foundational values. And it's so important because we teenagers want to be challenged. Adults need to be challenged. We need to be challenged in our faith, in our spiritual life, in our health, in our bodies. And to challenge the person with, what is it that you believe and why? Maybe they never even thought about that. And that can be a beautiful gift of discovery, because the better yoked you are in your faith, the stronger foundation you're going to have from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. A challenge to everyone who is looking for a spouse, wants to meet someone. Know that you are in our prayers. We really are praying for you. And there are lots of people who would love to introduce you to someone if you offer the opportunity. Don't be afraid to say that marriage and family is a longing part of your heart and turn to our Lord with that request. Brooke, where can people find you? I know I'm going to post show notes at radiotrending.com for social media links. I always love your Instagram, but where else can people find you?
Well, the easiest spot is my website. That's Brooke Taylor. It's Brooke with an E, brooketaylor.us. Also, my podcast. It's on iTunes and it's on Podbean and anywhere you can find a podcast. And that's called Good Things Radio. And so we interview monks and moms and scholars and priests and authors. And you were on the show as well. And just about living out our faith in a practical way and in our culture.
That's brooketaylor.us. It's so wonderful to have you in studio. I hope you will go over and follow Brooke Taylor, especially on Instagram. I'll be sure to send out links to her social media as well. Coming up in just a little bit is the man behind Trending and his story about how he met his wife.
You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
A great surprise for all of you listening. The man behind my show, Trending with Timmery, who makes all of the sound amazing, who's been an incredible mentor and coach for me as well, working in radio, is my dear friend, Jimmy G, Jim Governale, who has over almost three decades of experience in radio.
I'm an old guy. Yeah.
Now, you've worked with people like Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Jennifer Horn in the same studios with Salem Communication mm-hmm. and KKLA. You're the morning host for years on air as well.
That's right. That's right.
So welcome back to the studio on live.
Well, thank you. Wow. It's like I actually get to talk into the mic on the Timmery Show. Wow.
You are behind the scenes coaching so many of today's Catholic radio hosts and podcasters. And I just want to thank you because you are helping to build up the future of the new evangelization for so many of us.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it was my dream for many years to be able to work in Catholic media, to kind of take what I had learned. And it's where the Lord has me now. So I'm really thrilled about it.
You worked for many years in Christian Protestant radio. And so
I did.
Were you the closet Catholic or did people know you were Catholic?
I guess it depends on the person. You know, the funny thing is early in my radio career, you know, I'm a cradle Catholic, but early in my career, there seemed to be more of a stigma against Catholics, maybe in media and in the line of work that I was in. So it was kind of more kind of hush hush, I guess. But as time went by, I think as people got to know me, they just kind of saw me as, you know, I'm a brother in the Lord who just happens to be Catholic.
You're not the whore of Babylon.
No.
You know, and I think really in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s, there was still a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment from our Protestant brothers and sisters. I do not see it to that extent today as well.
Yeah. And I think to a certain extent, social media, again, I know it comes up so often on your show, but I think social media to a certain extent has helped to kind of bridge the gap a little bit. Mm. You know, there's more of an understanding in terms of the ecumenism of the fact that we are Christians.
I think that's very true because I even see friends who are of different denominations of Protestantism and they will quote, you know, some of our dear saints now, and it's showing a level of respect they have for wisdom, for holy people, and they don't have to get into the debate over someone's a saint and why they're a saint and maybe why they as a Protestant disagree with that.
Right.
I love that bridge.
Yeah, I think they call them, you know, there's the essentials and the non-essentials. And I don't really know exactly all those definitions, but some of those more non-essentials we don't really need to get into.
Absolutely. So I would love to hear, and we're going to be answering some questions from you, dear listeners, in the next segment. But before that, we want to hear about your story and how you met your spouse. This is a question so many people have. How do I meet someone? So tell us your story about how you met Mindy.
You know, it's interesting thinking about your last guest and what she was talking about. You know, having worked in radio for so many years, there is kind of a radio component to how I met Mindy. Back in the day, this is going back, well over 20 years ago, I had a coworker named Richie, and Richie was one of our IT guys. And younger guy, great, great guy, and he actually had some visual challenges where he would wear these glasses. We used to joke they were kind of these Coke bottle glasses. So when he was working on computer IT stuff, you know, he had his face fairly close to the monitor so he could see it well. But Richie, just a great, great guy. And what ended up happening was we had our company Christmas party. And having been kind of one of the on-air hosts, the guy who was organizing the party asked me if I would be the MC for the party. And so I would just kind of, we had a comedian, we had a musician, and I would just kind of point people to their tables and whatnot. And I was like, that's fine with me. Well, I was doing that. And I recall Richie escorting this young lady to the party. And we were like, who's that girl with Richie?
She was the talk of the ball.
As it turns out, it was his sister. And he brought her along, and partly because, you know, here this party was in the evening, and Richie didn't really drive at night. His eyesight wasn't bad to the point where he couldn't drive. But anyway, he brought his sister someone to come along at the party and to kind of point out what some of the different food choices were at the buffet. And as it turns out, that was my future wife right there, Mindy.
Wow.
And we ended up meeting, you know, when the party was over, we're kind of congregating there in the lobby.
Were you chasing her? Were you on full pursuit mode?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I really wasn't. In fact, I was with a friend, my friend Anthony, and there were a couple of other guys there who were kind of eyeballing her too. So, But Richie came up, we were in the lobby, and I was talking to one of these other talk show hosts. In fact, a gentleman named George Putnam, who's a legendary radio guy who's now deceased. But anyway, Richie came up and said, "Hey guys, I want you to meet my sister." And
I was like, yes, awesome, man.
And I was like, sister, oh. So that's basically how we met. And I kind of followed up in a very low-key kind of way with Richie. He was actually asking me to make a cassette tape of this Mel Blanc Porky Pig tape, you know, where he does Blue Christmas. And so I made the tape for Richie, and I wrote on this little note. I said, boy, it was great to meet your sister. And I think I said something to the effect of, is she spoken for? And he came up a few days later. He goes, nope, nope. As if to say, nope, she's not spoken for.
I like you. Like, she's available.
So that's what happened.
That's Jimmy G. He's the man behind Trending. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. And I could say Jimmy G because he makes everything happen here behind the studio, from coaching me, advising, and getting all of the fantastic sound quality out to your ears. So we're talking about his love story, how he met his wife. So many people today, Jimmy, are struggling to meet a spouse, to be open to dating. You know, what would you advise? You know, we get so distracted by technology and its form of introduction today. What would be your tips?
That's a good question. And here I am, you know, I'm certainly more older school, but I've been fascinated by the whole internet dating thing, because I have several friends who've actually met their spouses through internet dating. And interestingly enough, I have a good friend who actually was an entrepreneur, and he started the website CatholicSingles.com.
Oh, wow.
He no longer runs that website.
Okay.
He was the facilitator for many, many years. And I think it's been a couple of years now since I think he sold it. But that's how he met his wife, interestingly enough. No surprise there. But nowadays, boy, you know, I haven't been single in so many years. So I guess I just kind of look back to churches being the primary place where I would certainly engage maybe different groups where you could meet someone single. Because if someone is committed enough to be a regular church attender, then that's something that was always important to me.
This is how your son James met his wife, right? Was through a church related
I believe it activities. Was, it was like a youth group. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that this is a good reminder, you know, and this is a pushback. People will say, oh, well, you know, I know everyone at youth group. I know everyone at my young adult group. I know everyone who's volunteering here. Sometimes it's maybe pushing the button a little further. You know them. There's certain things you may or may not like in them. If there's a slight interest, I kind of say, ask to go on one date. See what it's like. Just say, hey, do you want to go and get coffee? I'd love to take you to coffee. No pressure. Lighten up the pressure. But on another note, I love where you recommend online dating. Here's why. I think we need to simplify what online dating is. It's not online dating. I like to think of it as online introduction. It's a way to be introduced to someone. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, again, back in my day when I was dating, if that was available to me, I probably would have certainly looked to it. Looking back, you know, a lot of the great social connections that I made were in my college days. Mm-hmm. And I was part of the Newman Club at my college. And I made just a lot of friends back in those days who remain good friends to this day, lifelong friends. And we met basically, we would have mass together, we would have meetings, and really kind of got the social group going there, which I guess these days would be transitioned more to kind of an online presence for a lot of groups that meet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your question about the internet dating, I think, again, having not experienced it myself, it seems like it would be a great window to at least meet like-minded people.
Yeah. And that's a start. I think so many people have this anxiety about, wow, they're going to be on the other side of the country. You know, there are all these differences. Yet, you know, living in Southern California, I can say there's a lot of superficiality and people who are maybe overly focused on their career and not enough on being marriage material or marrying and having families. And so sometimes, you know, I challenge, you know, go to the areas where I had a friend. She ended up moving across the country to an area she loved, a type of life she wanted. And sure enough, within a few months, she ended up becoming, meeting someone, becoming engaged. They're getting married. And I see this a common instance where maybe we need to move outside of our comfort zone by a lot at times.
Exactly. And one of the bits of advice that I hear from a well-respected radio psychologist who I listen to from time to time, Dr. Laura, is get involved in activities that you really enjoy. If you really enjoy hiking, if you really enjoy surfing, if you really enjoy bowling, you know, get involved in a league where you can meet other folks who also really enjoy doing those activities. I mean, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. But it's easy for me to say since I'm an old married guy.
But here's the reality. So many of the social studies are showing that today, young people, millennials down, are having a hard time with social connections. Because we've grown up with social media and technology in our hands, we're having a difficult time carrying conversation, communicating, initiating, that it's posed a lot of challenges. And so sometimes working on our communication skills by getting involved in these clubs. You know, I was talking this weekend to my brother. He's getting ready to graduate from high school. And I was telling him how much I love this new game that I've discovered, Settlers of Catan. And I'm like a hardcore nerd wanting to play this game now, but maybe you love to play Settlers of Catan or Twister. Invite people over, tell them to bring a friend and play a game if that's something you enjoy doing. Have a game night, you know? So I think these are some key insights that we just need to hear more stories. And coming up, we will be hearing from Don Johnson on the next episode of Trending. So be sure to head over to radiotrending.com and he'll also be sharing his story about how he met his wife. I'll be right back with Jimmy G on Trending.
Timmery will be right back. Send her a tweet at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Great to be back. I am excited this summer to be heading on the road. I will be everywhere from Indiana, Notre Dame, to Michigan, to South Carolina, Los Angeles, San Diego. So if you are in especially San Diego area or LA, there are two big conferences I want to invite you to. Vox Vitae. You can find more at voxvitae.org. We have guests coming such as Matt Walsh, Father Frank Pavone, Pam Stenzel, Doug Barry. A great lineup for both youth and adults. So check that out. It's at the end of June. And then this July in San Diego is the Couples for Christ Youth Conference taking place that second weekend of July. Come on out for the weekend. Matt Frad will be there and myself hosting some of the key sessions. So please join us. I've posted a link so you can head over to radiotrending.com to get connected with me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. With me today is the silent man behind the scenes every day. That's Jimmy G, my sound engineer, producer, and mentor here for Trending. And we're taking some questions from you guys today. So, Jimmy G, I received this question and I have a very blunt response, but then I have nuanced, good response. I'm not the best with questions sometimes because I'm going to lay it on and then we'll get into more of the softer elements. So here's the question. I want to get your initial reactions. Basically having to do with how to deal with breakups. After a couple months when, you know, your ex is maybe still showing signs that they're not over you, but then they start dating one of your former friends. And especially for us ladies, we have a hard time with this. Maybe a feeling of being betrayed, thinking that has to be maybe a rebound relationship, and then just having, you know, these negative circumstances and feeling about ourselves sometimes as women. So this is a question. What are your initial reactions here?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, it's easy for me to be, since I'm a little more seasoned and I guess you could say, knock on wood, a little more maturity behind me here, but I'm able to look at some of these things and just kind of say, you know what, if you have a friend who is in a situation where they're dating an ex, is that kind of where you were coming from?
Yeah, it sounds like this gentleman started dating her former friend,
That can be really, really tricky. And you might need to kind of distance yourself slightly from that friend to kind of not break off a friendship, but you may need to have some distance there to just kind of make it more comfortable for all parties involved. That's my thought.
Your initial thought. You know, I look at it and I think anytime there's a breakup, although there might be a lot of relief, there might be reasons for breaking up. I don't know who broke up with who, but there's always this, no matter what, this little bit of heartache that's present. And I think even more so, women tend to get a little more sentimentally involved, dreaming big picture a little sooner sometimes than gentlemen. Right. So there's this emotional element. Now, if there's been any type of sexual intimacy involved, that is exasperated all the more with the chemical bonding and memories that your body bodies are creating for one another, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, and truly chemical bonds. So that adds additional challenges, which can lead to jealousy, anger, resentment, negative feelings about your own circumstances and losing that significant other. So those can be things that are adding on to some of the heartbreak. However, at the same time, if you've broken up, you've broken up for a reason. And it's time to move on. And I think that this is what can be so challenging. We've got to get over ourselves and we have to move past it. And I use this phrase, and a lot of the time people don't understand where I'm coming from, but I think a lot of girls are marking their territory anymore and they're not allowing for other people to come in. You know, you and I probably both know. Maybe, you know, a friend of ours dated someone, they broke up and then ended up marrying another friend within that same friend group. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Yet today, if that happens, it's like these girls are so upset, like once dated, never dated again by anyone else they know. And I say this, you know, jestingly, but women have to stop marking their territories and peeing on all the guys they date on. It's like they're soiled goods and they're not. Just because you dated them, no one else should be able to. Mm. What do you think?
Well, and I also think one thing that kind of gets lost is just thinking in the long-term perspective of things. Whatever it is that you may be dealing with in a dating partner, and if you're really getting serious with a guy or a gal, if there are issues that crop up that really are kind of troublesome and you want to just kind of sweep them under the carpet, the reality is I think very few people think that, okay, if I marry this person, things are all going to just be wonderful and these little problems and issues are going to go away. No. You are signing up for a lifetime of dealing with, you know, the good and the bad, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if there are little problems that you're just kind of thinking, eh, it's not that big a deal, it's really going to be a big issue later on. And is it something that you're willing to live with, you know?
That's a great question. Yeah. Sometimes that might lighten our attitude about the heartbreak as you're putting it.
Exactly.
I think this is a really great insight because I'm sure that you will testify to this. Marriage is challenging. You know, I think that a lot of people idealize marriage or are afraid of it because they've seen multiple generations of divorce, heartbreak, and abandonment. So there are two different perspectives often that I think most people have, either a really good one or a really negative one. And it makes us very naive into the great opportunity or naive into the heartbreak and challenge that will always be there when dealing with other human beings so intimately.
Exactly. And I've heard you talk about this on your show a number of times, Timmy, just in terms of people who may have cold feet to really make that step, to make that commitment to get married. A lot of times because they've just looked at their own parent situation, or they've looked at situations of folks who are very close to them, who are their elders, who've just really struggled in that way. And maybe they just have not seen it modeled for them. And so, yeah. I could totally see why they have cold feet to make those commitments.
There's a quote by our dear blessed Fulton Sheen, and he talks about how the world is essentially full of half-crucified souls, people who are choosing to turn away from their cross and walk away from their cross. And Father Tim, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about marijuana, I was talking about how, you know, those people who are smoking marijuana to try and take the edge off or whatever are essentially trying to abandon their cross day to day. And I bring those two kind of quotes into perspective because part of the challenge with marriage is that if we look in the history and the biblical teaching and the natural experience of marriage, it's a cross. And I remember writing in grad school about marriage's redemptive suffering and how we as Catholics have something powerful to show to the world, that suffering is so fundamental to who we are, that we're uniting ourselves to Christ and growing. And so whether that's in the single life or in the challenges in a marriage, we have to remind ourselves of this distinct Catholic perspective.
I would definitely agree. You know, the funny thing is, when you're talking about suffering, I'm envisioning these violins playing of this droning music. It's like people saying, you Catholics, you're talking about suffering and marriage is suffering and yada, yada. But I think with me, and this is something that I can recall learning, you know, from my grandparents who were just amazing. They were amazing mentors and models for me in my faith, you know, praying the rosary daily and whatnot. And I think what I learned from them was just thinking about the eternal, because the bottom line is, you know, life is very short, and we're thinking about being with God in heaven. And you talk about the redemptive suffering of marriage, and I hear people joking about, oh, well, I'm going through this and this is going to take off my purgatory time, you know, and it may be kind of funny, jokey, but those, when I think in those perspectives, I think whatever this suffering is I'm going through, whatever this cross is that I'm bearing, it's something that the Lord has given me, and I'm going to embrace it.
I love
Not easy,
that.
But I'm going to embrace it.
I love that. And that is when then, okay, I've psychologically chosen to embrace it, but now, Lord, help move my will to get over my bad attitude, my complaining, my moodiness. You know, there's so much there that then has to be worked through. But if you think about trying to overcome those bad habits and those emotions that are firing, even when we've, you know, intellectually chosen to embrace the cross, that strengthens us and transforms us.
Exactly. And there's that story, which I'm sure you've heard, of people who are maybe sitting in a circle listening to everyone kind of talking about their problems in their lives and the crosses that they're bearing. And you're walking in there thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, if I could just get rid of this cross that I'm bearing. But once you hear the stories of other people talking about their burdens and their crosses, which of those would you prefer to have? You take back your own. You would take back your own. And that's always, that sort of story has always spoken very loudly to me.
Well, isn't that a reminder that God only gives us what we can handle? Even if we think it's impossible, he only gives us what he will equip us to handle. And I love that you bring this conversation back to faith ultimately, you know, whether it was, how do you meet a spouse? Get involved in your church, or, you know, the challenges of marriage and dating. Go and turn to our Lord. And I want to touch on that last element that this listener asked about, dealing with breakups, is kind of feeling betrayed. If, you know, it seems like there's a rebound relationship taking place. To be honest, you don't know the convictions and the reasons of that other person that you broke up with. And so it may be a rebound. It might be half a rebound. It might not even be a rebound. It's one of those moments, pick up the cross, walk away, allow yourself to move on, and invite Our Lady to bring her son to you in healing those broken wounds.
Exactly. Well, you talk about things coming back to faith. That's what's kept me sane through so many areas of my life. Good, bad, and ugly. It just, knowing that I have the faith, knowing that the Lord is by my side, and that I can ask him to bear some of my burden for me. That's what's gotten me through a lot of stuff in my life.
That's Jimmy G, an incredible mentor, father, and husband. He is the face behind Trending with Timory here. And you can find him. Jimmy G has a Facebook page, Jimmy G Radio. Is that correct?
Jimmy G Radio. Yeah.
So we'll be sure to post links to that at radiotrending.com. If you've enjoyed what you heard, or if you have a question, be sure to message us at radiotrending.com/contact.
This has been Trending with Timory. To learn more about Timory Millington, visit timory.com.